plate a potential nugget.
And diving into step one, Ayelet, you talk about, you know, the Goldilocks balance while setting a goal, right? It needs to be aspirational enough, but at the same time, it needs to be specific enough, and you can't swing too far on each of these extremes. Can you talk a little bit about getting that balance right? Maybe illustrate that with an example if possible.
Yeah, so the problem with very specific goals is that they feel like chores. Okay? That if your goal is to, let's say, apply for a job, that feels like a chore. Like I need to write a resume, I need to send many applications, I need to interview. That is not exciting, that's not pulling me. Two abstract goals, and I will now go to like all the way to the extreme of like being happy or being fulfilled. It's hard to know how to pursue them. So I might feel very excited about being happy and fulfilled, but I have no idea what is the action that needs to happen tomorrow at 7 a.m. for me to be there. And so we try to find the right balance, that is a goal that is as abstract as you can be, okay, as most inspiring, as most inspiring and least like a chore, but that is nevertheless connected to action. Okay, so for example, having a job is better than applying for a job. Okay, you apply for a job because you want to have a job, so you know what it takes to have a job, you know what the steps are, but having a job is fun, okay, it's good, okay, it's like having a career is something that people aspire to have. Owning a house is better than searching for a house is another example. As an exercise, you can think about it as asking yourself many why questions, like why do I do whatever I do, okay, and why do I do that, and you know, like let's say I'm writing a resume. Why do I do it? Because I want to apply for a job. Why do you want to apply for a job? Because you know, I want to be employed. Why do you want to be employed? Because I want to do something interesting. Okay? Because I want to make impact on the world, depending on my career and so on. And stop at the level of why questions, where you can still see the action that relates to it, okay? That it doesn't become so abstract that you just don't know how to answer how anymore.
That's a great perspective. Just dig deep enough so that it's still driven by action rather than go too deep, that it becomes too abstract.
Exactly.
Fascinating. And talking about goals, Ayelet, you also talk about approach goals and avoidance goals. And you say that each of these works in a certain context, and it's important for us to recognize that. Can you shine the light on this one?
Yes. Approach goals are the do goals, and avoidance goals are the do not goals. When we ask people to list their goals, you know, we recently asked many people to list New Year's resolutions. Some people talk about what they should do. Other people talk about what they should not do. Okay, so if you tell me that your goal is to stop smoking, that's an avoidance goal. An approach goal is to start exercising, okay, or do something that will make you healthier. The problem with avoidance goals is that they are often harder to pursue. They often make us think about the thing that we are trying to avoid. Dan Wagner, back in the 80s, ask people not to think about white bears as their ultimate avoidance goals. Try not to think about something. Really hard to do. The more you try not to think about white bears, well, guess what? You think about white bears. And so avoidance goals are hard, but avoidance goals seem urgent, which means that if you need to do something immediately, then often this is the right way to think about it as what I should not do. Okay, approach goals seem like, well, I don't need to start right now. I can start next week. And so I say, in general, try to avoid the avoidance goals. Try to think about what you want to do, not what you want not to do. Unless you're trying to motivate yourself to act as soon as possible.
Let the approach goals crowd out the the activities we're trying to avoid, I guess, is a way to look at it.
Yes. Yes. Got now, it. Some people are also in the personality more approachers, some others more avoiders. So, some people tell you that it's more natural to them to think, let's say, about their career in terms of avoiding messing up other than, approaching success. But for most of us, approaching success is easier, is more motivating than avoiding failure.
If I go back to the four-step process that Ayelet speaks about in driving change, I really find the piece around social support very relevant in the context of the coaching work I do. When I work with a leader, typically I end up speaking to 20-30 people around them across personal and professional domains to understand them from different perspectives. After I do this for about 2-3 months, I share my feedback with the leader and I generally suggest that they share the findings with a few people around them. At least a couple of people who are vested in your growth on the work front and a couple of people on the personal front. I think it does a couple of things, I notice. One, it provides greater color to some of the points that are made in the assessment report. Second, they often act as the feedback loop as you embark on the change and can keep coming back to you with progress and let you know if you go off track. They can hold you accountable as you move forward. I also like the point Ayelet makes about approach goals crowding out avoidance goals. I find that to be specifically relevant in the context of tech addiction. I've noticed that the only way I can get myself and my kids away from the screen is to substitute it with something else that's more interesting and engaging so that we're not gravitating towards the screen. Just telling myself or the kids that screen time is to be avoided beyond a point is absolutely useless, I notice. Thank you for listening.